to move in your life. And so, y'all ready for today?
Yes.
Yes, amen. God's got a word for us. I know he's had a word for me throughout the week. I want to just kind of give you a scenario to set you up for this scripture. Are you ready for it?
Yes.
Okay. With seven children in the house, okay, and a couple of months ago, I had to make a decision, okay? And my wife looked at me as we were making that decision, and she said, now listen, and I love her for this. She said, if we say yes, you've got to be okay. And I was like, okay, I'm okay. I really want to make this decision. So we make this decision, and the decision that was actually being made was that I had to be okay with everything not being okay. Okay, have you ever had to like make a decision in life that like you just have to say, okay, I'm just going to work through that and persevere? And here's what I mean. And if you've ever like dealt with children or a classroom or something like that, you know that seven, right, at some point, someone is not going to be happy. And then the minute, right, that one gets happy, then the sixth gets what? Mad, okay? And then when the sixth is through their problem and you put the Band-Aid on it and the blood stops and then you smell something, right? You know what you're smelling? Poop in a diaper or something burning. I usually am the one that making it burn, okay? We won't go that far back. Bad memory of our stove getting taken out by the fireman. But anyway, that's an old thing. A year ago. But anyway, it's like I just have had to settle, right? That everybody's not always going to be okay, okay? And that's okay. And the thing is that children are what? I love kids, and I believe in them, and we believe in them here at AFC, but they're like what? They are up and down, and they're sponges, yes. And so they're up and down, they're sponges, they're a mess, and they're not a mess. I love this, right? This is the best part. When all seven are happy and getting along, right? And then I say something. My wife hates when I do this. I'm like, honey, like everybody, she's like, oh, it in 2 seconds later, somebody's screaming, somebody stole this, somebody did that, somebody, right? Because they're always coming to us and say, well, so-and-so, you know, my sister this, my sister that. And I'm like, if I only had boys, it'd all be good, right? If you know boys, that's not true. So yeah, here's the deal. It's interesting in scripture, especially in the letters, because it's like, sometimes we're told one thing and then we're told another, and if we don't understand context, we get confused, right? At one point, Jesus said, I want you to have faith like a child. And somebody said in the front row here, like, children are like sponges. They're just taking it in. They have a faith that's just so beautiful and so unique, and if really cultivated, can be something beautiful. But then the scriptures do what? They say, don't be like a kid. I'm like, what do you mean? You just said be like a kid, and now you said don't be like a kid. And I think the scripture we're going to read today, and we're going to talk about scorecards, is that God isn't calling us to the okay, not okay, okay, not okay, not okay, 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 not okay, mad, not mad. See, God calls us to move away from that kind of movement, not away from the faith, but away from the like roller coaster of childhood. So if you got your Bibles, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. Again, last week we were there. This week we're going to be there. If you want to stand for the reading of God's word, that would be incredible. Words that Paul said to this specific church. Honestly, they were kind of acting like children, and they were listening to something, and it's like, oh, well, that's good. And then they were listening to something over here, and they were saying, oh, well, that's good. Let's go this way. And then they were listening to something over here, and they were going that way and this way. And it was like, he just couldn't, the people were just different every day. And see, God calls us to consistency. Starting in verse 14, Paul says, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, so he gives us something else. Rather than being like that, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, which is Christ. God, today come. And today is kind of all about getting real. And God, I just pray today that you would just speak through me, that these words would just come straight from you. God, we pray against the enemy in the name of Jesus. God, let me stand on your foundation and let the words today be your words, not mine. And so, God, we trust that you'll just encamp around this space and this time. We ask the same thing right now for the young adults as they worship and as they hear from Pastor Joey God, I just pray that you'd use him as a vessel in this time. But right now, God, in this space, please come. Please move. Please let us be willing to look in and observe and evaluate and understand and trust. So we ask this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen, amen. All right, you all got an Android? Just say no. And if you do, don't admit it, okay? They're for smart people. I'm being honest. Like, you have to be in IT to understand an Android. And so I did Android once, and I was like, what is this? It's like a complicated computer. Anyway, went back to iPhone. It's like simple, right? Just simple. You just got little, you know, it's just easy. But iPhone does something. They like to trick you, okay? Like, I don't know what it is, but like, you know, I yell at the kids because they're doing something wrong, and then I pick up my phone, and it's like 7 years ago, you're on vacation, and the kids are just frolicking around, and I'm like, you know, is that Jesus or the iPhone? I don't know, but they do that, right? Have you ever done that on your phone? It like has a picture when you pull it up, and like you hit that, and it's an album from like 33 years ago, and like all these beautiful memories, maybe six, but all these beautiful memories come up, and it's just incredible. And what do you start doing? You start reflecting on that event. And you start thinking about like how special that was, and maybe it was at Disney or camping, or maybe it was at a celebration, and maybe sometimes, right, you pull up your iPhone and it sends a picture and it's like, oh gosh, I don't want to remember that. I don't want to look at that. I don't want to think about that. I don't want to, and we begin to reflect on something that maybe we don't want to reflect on. Maybe actually like symbolizes hurt or a season in our life that wasn't good, and we begin to reflect on that. And oftentimes pictures can do that, right? You can look at a picture and it just brings up emotions and feelings, and it takes you back to a place that maybe you're not at right now. Church, what I'm going to talk about today and what I believe God is really encouraging us to hear today is that we have to be willing to reflect on our scorecard. Well, what do you mean? Well, now I'm just talking about, not about other people, not about your anger towards other, not about any of that stuff. But right now I'm asking you and I'm encouraging you that as a people of God, we have to be willing to look at our scorecard with him. What does that look like? Well, how often do you evaluate your spiritual life? How often do you get on your knees and just say, okay, Jesus, what is it that you... Where am I with you? What does it really look like? What is my scorecard? Now, it's not about guilt. It's about really getting real with God and saying, here I am. Here I am. All through Scripture, we see really incredible people fall down in humility and say, where am I? Where are you? How are we? Where do we go from here? Interestingly enough, we did this little marriage enrichment here at the church, and through that writing and through that process, I'm just being totally honest, like I thought like our marriage was good, and I really believe that it's gotten better. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, there were things that like we can't share it and not talk about it, right? We can't stand up here and say, hey, here's a reality of what needs to be in your marriage and not be living it ourselves. And naturally, we found ourselves discussing things, talking about things, sharing things, saying, hey, I think we need to, hey, what, you know what, you're right. And all of a sudden, I'm being totally honest, 3 weeks ago to today, wouldn't you say we're better? And like significantly. And I thought we were good. But you know what happened? We got real. We got real and stopped saying it's good and started saying like, well, what about this actual thing? What about this actual issue? What about when you respond like this? How are we gonna go teach it if we don't actually talk through it? And all of a sudden, we were really getting real. We were taking the scorecards and we were evaluating and saying, here's where we can, and a marriage that we thought, I mean, it has its bumps, but was good. Church, we have to reflect. Because I think this scripture that Paul was saying to a people that were just running all over, and just, he was saying, it's time for you to like get real. If we really believe what 1 Peter says, and that is, God calls us to be holy as he is holy. And he doesn't call us there and leave us there. He calls us there and says, here's my spirit to encourage, strengthen, move, and give you the power to live in this. And so I want you to think about this statement as we begin today. reflecting on our works and evaluating ourselves is a good thing, but we must be mindful that it is not for the purpose of defining worth. It's not for the purpose of defining worth. It's not like, okay, when I have a good day, God is happy with me, and when I have a bad day, he's not happy with me. His love is consistent. He's there. Whether you're like grabbing on or not, he's there. So good or bad, he's there. He's with you. He loves you. He cares for you. But I think if we get with him instead of like at a distance, he can take us further. Ask yourself some of these questions. And see, when we're really like able to reflect in our own hearts and be like real with ourselves, we can ask some of these questions. How have we allowed the movement of Jesus to affect our day? That's simple, right? Hey God, how have you moved on me today? How have we allowed the movement of Jesus to affect our emotions today? How have we allowed the movement of Jesus to affect our attitude today? Was it a reflection of you? Hey, Jesus, how have I allowed you to affect my responses today? Jesus, how have I allowed my actions to reflect you? Jesus, how have I allowed my attractions to come under the work? What do you mean? Church, I believe this more than ever. Our attractions and the attractions that we have in society, they are drawing people far, far, far away from the strength that we get in the purpose of God. Many of us today, let's just be honest, are sitting here today, and tomorrow our attraction to something will drive us in a direction that isn't God's. Attractions are driving us, and our society is saying, if you're attracted, go with. I'm fascinated. I don't like to go in the supermarket because something happened all these years in marriage, and she says, get this. And so I get in the aisle, right? And I'm like, oh my gosh, this looks good. That looks good. There's 1,300 brands. There's 10 different flavors. And I'm like, they all look good. I want them all. And I come home with 15 of them, and she's like, why do we have 6 different barbecue sauces? Honey, they were on sale. And if you buy 5, you get them for 10 instead of, you know what I mean? And I didn't know which flavor. They all look good, and I don't know what to do. You know, our society's like doing that. Our society's watching the way we scroll on our phones, and whatever we slow down at, guess what they're going to do tomorrow? They're going to remind you of that and pull you into your attraction. So do you get with Jesus and say, are my attractions under the authority of Jesus Christ? I just read, actually it just came out last week, that debt is the highest, personal debt is the highest it's ever been in America. Do you know what that means? Many of you are strapped. You don't give because you don't want to give. You don't give because you can't give. Because your attractions have led you in a direction that has kept you from. And the enemy is slowly entrapping our society. And so when we get with God, we've got to say, was my attraction to all that you, to everything that you, what about our addictions? How we allowed the movement of God to work in our addictions. And so, some of the questions that I ask myself, especially when I go with them and say, okay, I'm looking at a scorecard that isn't very close to you. And see, the great thing is, Jesus did what he needed to do, which was go to the cross, and we hear this all the time. He died on the cross for our sins and was a sacrifice for that. He rose again. He brought the Spirit of God to us. And so when we take daily stock of our lives, remember that as blood-bought, Holy Spirit-indwelt Christians, it requires us at times to get real. To get real. Okay, so I never do this. I'm going to take a pause and say something really goofy, okay? I'm not a big fan of acronyms, okay? And my wife is even less a fan of them. You know, like where you do like Joe and then like Joe, J stands for like, let me come up with something really good. There isn't one for O, maybe O. Outstanding. There you go. So like Joe, right? I don't know a J. I don't know, just normal. But anyway, and then O is outstanding and E is like exceptional. Yes, there I am, okay? I'm J, unknown, and O, but I'm not into those things. But today I just felt like the Lord was speaking to my heart about something that has to do with getting real. Church, if you don't get real with like where you really are with God, if you don't really let him come in and say, hey, you know, Joe, maybe today you weren't so outstanding. Maybe today you really didn't embody, then I'm telling you, you are missing out. So I use an acronym, okay? I'm sorry, honey. I won't do another one for a long time, okay? I get it. It's corny. So REAL, R-E-A-L. Can you say R-E-A-L? R-E-A-L. There you go. You're with me. Okay. R is recognize. Can you say recognize? Yes. Okay. Recognition. I want to talk to you a little bit about here. I think we need to do this, and I'm just being honest. Like, we have to recognize our successes. Yesterday, Ashley and I, we had a little moment, and I looked at her, and I was like, babe, I think we're like, she's like, honey, don't ruin it. I'm like, I just, you know, I'm almost talking. So she's like, I sometimes talk myself right out of something. You know what I mean? Like, things are going well, and then I start talking, and I'm like, down the poop train. You know what I mean? It just doesn't go well. And she's like, don't say it. I'm like, I think we're like doing really well. It's okay to celebrate and recognize the successes. It's okay to go to prayer at night and say, God, like, I really heard you. I saw you. I moved with you. He's excited too. And so it's okay to recognize and say, you know what, and then call your spiritual father, your spiritual mother and say, I think I'm getting it. I think God is really, that's okay. The disciples did it. They came back and said, I think I'm doing it in your name. And he was like, yes. But I think it's also important that we have to recognize those areas of inaction. Those areas where he said step and we said step back. I think it's important when we get with God to recognize the places where we're lazy. You know, half of Christianity isn't about like anything really bad. We're just lazy. And we'd rather do nothing than do something. Because we know we're in. He loves us. We're saved. We're going. And so if we don't, but we ain't living in his fullness. We're not running around like the Church of Acts. I think sometimes we have to recognize when we get real with him about those moments where we decide to take the easy road. And we don't say that encouraging word. We don't say that thought that God put in our heart to share with. We don't step away from. We don't let him come into. I think we have to be willing to recognize the areas with him that we can celebrate. And then the areas that we need to maybe say, okay, it's time for us to like. Interestingly enough, and we heard a great message in chapel this week. And as humans, we tend to do three things. One is we often think higher of ourselves than we should. You all know people like that? It ain't you, it's somebody else, but right? They think higher of themselves than they should. And when you're done with them, it's like, gosh, they have a really high view of themselves. You know what I mean? It's like, wow, I love those people. But anyway, I want that kind of confidence, right? And then sometimes we're on the other side, which was we often think too low of ourselves. It's like, I don't get it. I get with people and I'm like, y'all, you are like blood bought, like Christ loves you, he infills you, like you are everything that he wanted you to be. Like, come on now, get going. God's got, but we think so low of ourselves. And there's kind of a third one in society, and I love the way he described it. I couldn't really describe it well, but he used the example of like a bunch of buckets, right? And there's all these labels on the front of the buckets. And we think, okay, you know what? I don't feel like I have any value or any worth, and so I'm gonna dump myself into this bucket. Well, that doesn't get me worse, so I pick it up, whatever's left, and dump it in this bucket and then that bucket, and I got all these labels and all these, and failure, I mean, it just, friendships, family, and we just keep moving our being into different buckets, and we find out that all these labels just don't. And oftentimes the labels are good for a season, but not another season. He used all kinds of examples. We're everything when we're working and then we retire and it's like, well, who are we? Well, you're a lot. You're a person of God. You're a Christian. You're a blood bought. But we put our value there. And when that label's gone, we don't know who we are. And when our kids, we don't know. When we're not, we don't know. See, what happens is, when we really recognize like who we are in Christ and we begin to be real about what we're not doing and what we are doing, and when we're okay to say, you know what, God, you're right, in this area I can step a little further, move a little more, speak a little louder, we really begin to understand who we are in Christ. But we've got to recognize, we got to be okay, I'm just talking you and God, not anybody else, and God and you and them, I'm just mean like you and him, when you get on your knees at night and it's just you and him and saying, God, I recognize, I felt, I knew. It's gotten to the point in my life, I'll text Ashley and say, I said it, and like immediately the Spirit of God came on me and said, I shouldn't have said it. I don't even have to wait till I get to the prayer time at night, I already know. Recognition. Second is E, embody. How do we embody Christ? It's such a foreign thing. When we tell people that don't understand Christ, it's like, how do you embody it? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. And we know that because of the Spirit comes in, and there's a place in our heart that's just so void and so lost without him, and the Spirit comes in and just brings that peace, fulfillment, settlement, stability, purpose. And I think sometimes, like, we don't embody him, but we expect from him. We don't embody him when he says and speaks and calls, and I think we have to ask ourselves, like, in all reality, all right, God, how did I embody your presence today? How did I allow your Spirit to embody me in such a way that it made me different? There's this funny story for the next one. A, actuality, not actual, not actually, actuality. So I want to tell you something fun, and I remembered, I actually had her rehearse it to me because I couldn't totally remember the story, but her mom, who's 77 now, right? Honey, stay with me, I need you. 77, 78, what? A, actuality. Is that spelled wrong? Yes. Oh, good. That's me. Okay. Anyway, I have somebody check it too. I'm sorry. I won't throw them under the bus. But anyway, because it's my fault because I initially did it. Okay. Please. Gosh, I'll get an email tomorrow. But anyway, not from this service. Okay. There's a story that her mother tells. She's 77 now, right? Or she's 78. No, she's 77. Okay. Anyway, she had all the years of Ashley growing up until you were 17, right? When you went to Texas. Okay, all the years she talked about this place called Aquarena Springs. Is that how you say it? Okay, well, if you look at it now, it's been taken over by like Texas State Recreation, whatever. But anyway, she would tell Ashley this story about how cool it was. So like there were these mermaids that were hooked with chains and balls. You know what I'm talking about? And they would keep you down in the water, and they would have like this pipe thing, and they would do these different scenes, and like advertisers would pay for them, like drink Coke underwater and everything. And it was like you could watch them from the like the aquarium wall, and they'd do all this stuff. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And then you could get in the glass bottom boat and look down and see all the things too. They also had a swimming pig. They had this lady that raised pigs that swim very strange. You can watch her interview. I went this week online and watched her interview. And she's a very strange lady, but hey, God bless you. You train them how to swim. And they would swim around with these mermaids underneath. And she was so excited. God finally, after 17 years at Dayton First Nest, they moved to Temple. And she was able to take them to Aquarena Springs. And she was so excited and build it up. And the 17-year-old Ashley went. And there was like nobody at the front. It was all worn down. And like somebody finally came and got their ticket. They got in on the boat. It barely started. They couldn't see down because the glass was cloudy. This is no lie. And algae was growing on it. So when you look down to see the older mermaids down there, it wasn't like what they expected. And then when you went down to watch the thing, they were just floating in the water, not really doing a scene. And those days had passed. You could barely see them. And there was really nothing to see because, you know, how glass gets cloudy in like over years. And so they never really did anything to it. They just kind of left it as what it was once to be. Well, now it's been taken over by the state of Texas. And so what's funny is her mother was devastated. It was like this great memory. And her mom had a pretty bad, rough childhood, a really rough childhood. And it was one of those fond memories. And after she was done there, she was devastated. She was so sad. This memory she had as a kid, and she couldn't wait to share with her daughter, was like lost. It was gone. Did you know that I think sometimes when we really get real and get with God, that work that was 10 years ago, 4 years ago, 20 years ago, that we are just holding on to, that we're just celebrating, that we're saying like, that was you and me, God, and I made that step. And when we really get down to it and God gets with us and we begin to look at the day in and day out, we realize that actually what we think is real isn't what he thinks is real. And all of a sudden we recognize that Well, what do you mean? You ever go back to somewhere that you went as a child? Y'all know the Ramada Inn. Gosh. I'm sorry, we were really poor growing up, and so we went to the Ramada Inn one time, and I just thought it was great. They had a pool. We never had a pool, and we lived in this tiny little house, and anyway, I was so excited. Well, then, like, years down the road, we were passing it with my parents. I was like, oh my, the windows were broken, the curtains were, like, pulled and stuff, and I was like, isn't that where we went? And, like, it was shattering. I was like, oh my gosh, I had a great memory there. It's a terrible, like, overnight type place now. Do you know what I mean? Like, you pay for the... It's hourly, you know, that kind of place. Anyway, okay. I'm just saying that's what it said on there. You can buy by the hour. I still remember the neon letters. And I'm like, what's the hour, Mom? And she's like, never mind. Okay. But it wasn't what I thought as a kid. It was like shattered. I'm like, that was the one vacation when I was... Church, you know, if we get real with God, there are many of us today that we think we're actually in a place that we're not. And then when God says, hey, thanks for getting with me, I don't want to give you a guilt trip. I don't want to, because see, God isn't about guilt. The enemy is. You step away, the enemy steps in, he fills you with guilt. That's not God. He fills you with grace and mercy and says, now that you're ready to really see who you are, let's go somewhere. Now that we the shattering's over, they laugh about it now, and we talk about it almost every time we see him. We joke about it. We laugh about it. We're making new memories now. We're doing new things together now. Those memories don't mean as much anymore. And Jesus comes in and says, okay, thanks for getting real. Let's get over the fact that we aren't really, and let's go somewhere. Church, if you're really getting with him every day, you're going to realize, Ashley and I realized that our marriage wasn't, and it could be more. But see, some of us are believing a reality that Christ himself doesn't even believe. Then there's the L in real, and that is just simply life. Life. Is that spelled right? Yeah. Whew, all right, hallelujah, because you just never know with me. Anyway, when we realize that life is in the balance, well, what do you mean? Well, here's the thing, like, a lot of us think, okay, here's the story, right? It's in the Bible. The story is in you. Jesus gave us a framework, and then he said, here's my spirit, so the story of life can continue in you. It's all about life. I don't say these things to you. I don't ask God to reveal so that you can just live the same. God's saying you can live in so much more life because life is in the balance. And I know I said today just about you, but think about it. As you get real with God, right? And you really, the two of you, and all of a sudden you begin to like see things like you never saw them before, and then all of a sudden life begins to produce. It doesn't just change you. It changes the people around you. It changes the way they see you. Sometimes they don't like what they see, and that's okay. Because sometimes spaces that you were in, you shouldn't be in anymore. And so you begin to say, hey, I'm going this way. You want to come with me? And if they say no, it's like, okay. Life. Life is in the balance. I'm going to share a little story with you. And I'm going to give you two thoughts, and then I'm going to close. In a 2011 interview with Stephen Colbert, you all know who he is, legend Jimmy Cliff was asked if he currently was a member of any type of religion. He answered, no. I've graduated from them. Interesting, right? Colbert asks, what do you mean you graduated from religion? Now, remember this in 2011. This would actually work today. You've graduated from religion. He said, yes. Then he said that God's sitting up there, and when I get there, he'll take the scorecard that I give him based off of my truth and facts, quote. Isn't that great? Go up to God and say, here's my truth and facts. Now judge me based off of that. Colbert's inspired response said, instead I'll take faith and grace. Now, I don't know that he would have said the same thing now. He probably would have said, well, your truth is God's truth. I want to bring you to the scripture and keep that in mind. Jesus said this, take my yoke upon you. See, he knows you. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Let me teach you, which takes like everyday scorecard, you and Jesus. Then he says, "For I am gentle." Then Jesus went on to say, "And I am humble in heart." Man, you know, humility goes a long way, and Jesus was just that. And then he said something interesting. Jesus said, and you will find rest. You know that our society yearns for rest. The minds of our society yearns for rest. And you know why our society and the people around us and the people we work with and love and encounter are desiring rest is because the enemy never lets us rest. He never lets us be at peace. He never lets us be calm. We think we are in the temporary, but it never works out. And Jesus said, from here on out, I want to just give you rest. And then he said, for your soul, which is the very depth of who you are. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The only reason you think your faith journey is hard is because the enemy is telling you it is. And the enemy is saying, as you step out, you're just going to feel, no, as you step out, you step in. You step into the fullness. You step into Jesus saying, I got this. I'm with you. This idea graduated. I want to tell you just a short thing. My doctoral work, I don't say much about it. Like, I'm not that smart. It took everything for me to get through it, and I did well, but there was... I don't even know the names because I don't know, like, quantum something something, but statistics that you had to take. What? How many courses was it? It was a bunch of them. It was like barely making it through anyway. And everything else, I was like, I really knew it and I understood it. These classes here, they were required. You had to take them because of the dissertation. Well, anyway, the final stats, it's a long word. I don't know how to say it, but like da 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 da. Anyway, that class, right, that you had to take. They said at the beginning of the first day, I'm like all excited, I'm close, I'm going to be done. And they said, now here are some resources, you know, when they start out like this, here are some resources of tutors that you can use to get through this. I was like, oh, I'm out. I called my wife, I said, listen, I'm 10 hours away, I'm driving home. Why are you driving home? I ain't doing this. Because they're telling me it's going to be hard, I don't know math anyway, I can barely balance stuff. And anyway, and she says, no, just stick it out. She was so kind. Well, then they said, you may not make it. And so there's this tutoring program for $1,500. I said, what? Now, I was very vocal at the time. I said, what do you mean $1,500? We're already paying. You know how much we're? I got along with her. He's like, yes, but here's the thing. These are like specialized people that specialize in this type of like whatever this is. And I said, I don't even know what this is, but so they specialize in that. He said, yes, for $1,500. And so I said, okay, great. So I went home to my wife, who's very like frugal, right? I said, it's only $1,500. And she said, study. I said, oh, okay. I said, study? What do you mean? I don't know what that word is. So good thing for Google, right? You know, Google just come around. And so I began to Google everything. And well, you know, if you Google it and you still don't get it, it doesn't mean like you get it, right? Google just provide you something to read. Anyway, so I studied, didn't I? I was so faithful. Was I? No, I feel like I was. Every night, I just gave up quicker than you would have given up, okay? Anyway, we put the kids to bed every night. I studied for a month, went back and failed the first test. You could only fail one, you had to pass the other three. I was like, oh gosh, I don't even know what that one was. And so that builds on that one. You know, that's how class works, right? It builds and you fail one, it just fail the next. Anyway, so I came home and I said, babe, I'm giving up. What? I said, I'm giving up. And she said, no, you're not going to give up. I said, no, I'm going to give up. She said, okay, we'll pay for the, that was really my whole, like, I gave up to say, you know what I mean, to push her to get, you know how that works, right? So she gave me the $1,500 to get the tutor, and I passed, thankfully, to the tutor who spoke things that I never heard before, and all I had to do, and she didn't, he said, if you'll memorize what I'm saying, you'll be able to, you don't have to understand it, just, he always said, just memorize the theories, all that. So I just memorized. It took me hours, but I don't memorize anything. But anyway, finally got there. When I graduated and got off that stage, what did I say to you? I am never going to school again. I don't care if the Church of the Nazarene says I'll just go be some missionary on the side of the road. You know what I'm saying? I'll put up a shed and I'll preach out of that. You know what I mean? I'm done. I said, I'm not learning anymore. And I spent about a year. It took me a year to read another book, right? Unless it had to do with a message or a sermon or something. I was wasted. I was done. I didn't know what went into my mind. I was just trying to get it out. You know what I'm saying? And like, just forget it. I was done. Now, eventually, I realized that I had to keep learning, right? I had to keep growing. I had to keep understanding people. I had to keep understanding society. I had to keep understanding who I am, who Christ is in me. And so I got back to that. But it did take me some time to get back and go back to being a seeker. What Paul was saying here, so back to the Ephesians, he was saying, hey, y'all, you're up and down. One day you're good, one day you're not. One day you're like all over the place. You're in the faith, you're not in the faith. This comes over here and you're drawn over here, and this comes over here and you're drawn over there. You know what it looked like? A bunch of kids. And God is saying, you don't have to be a kid. You don't got to be up and down. But what happened was, you know what happened? They graduated. They accepted Jesus and they went on about their business. And they expected Jesus to go on about their business with them, do a little bit here and a little bit there, and all of a sudden they didn't even know who they were. And so Paul would say, come on back. Because see, here's what happens when you don't go from a graduate to a seeker. See, seekers do this. Seekers, they will find. If you start getting with him today, you will find him. Maybe not today, but if you do again tomorrow, you will find him. Seekers remain humble. Because when they get with God and he says, hey, I'm here and you're here, come on, let's draw into. Seekers will keep personal score, but for the reasons of growth, not guilt. I don't want to be that anymore. I'm not going to live in the guilt of that, but I'm done with that because God's got. Seekers will be on the lookout for opportunity. Seekers will never be okay with status quo. Seekers will never be a one and done. Seekers have hearts for others. Seekers are okay with the unknown because they know whose they are. Seekers are never okay with just settling. But graduates, on the other hand, that don't transition to be seekers, they are finished. Graduates are settled. Graduates hand out plaques of past accomplishments. They celebrate milestones and elevate self. Graduates compare with others. Graduates look down. Graduates remain graduates. Graduates stick to one style. Graduates stick with one avenue. See, God isn't looking for a bunch of graduates. And can I be honest with you? If you really think about it, if our churches weren't full with graduates, our churches would be full with people. But our churches across America have a whole bunch of graduates that have graduated and begun to, well, you. Imagine if our churches were full of a bunch of seekers. In fact, I'm pretty sure in here, I know a bunch of you pretty well, and you're seeking. So, this isn't about guilt. It's about getting real. It's about saying to God, okay, I'm going to get real with you, and I'm not going to do it once a year. I'm not going to do it at revival. I'm not just going to do it on Sundays. I'm going to do it on Monday. I'm going to do it at lunch, at work. I'm going to do it in the moment when I know I've misstepped. I'm going to say, can you excuse me for a minute? I got to go get with God. What just came out of me, it didn't feel right. And so I'm going to deal with it right now. Because seekers have a hard time settling when there's a misstep. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's there saying there is more, there is better, the best is yet to come. Last thought. I told you I was going to give you one last thought. I've been thinking about this all through Scripture. There's this crazy thing that happens. And I'm just going to use one example, and that is Moses. Can you say Moses? All right, I know you want to say lunch, but we'll say Moses instead, okay? Moses, incredible man of God. The Exodus, right? They were in what? They were in slavery. They were basically in a prison, living for someone else. They get free, right? And all of a sudden they get free and they're just so excited about what God is doing, and all of a sudden they see what? Water. And they start what? They're frantic. Oh my gosh, he brought us to just, the water parts, they get past that. They get hungry. It's just over. So what they see as an end, right, God sees as an opportunity. They were okay with, hey, we know you're real, God, but let's just step back and live in the old. And on it happened with them. And eventually, you know what God said? Gracious sakes, I'm imagining this, okay? But gracious sakes, just stay in the wilderness. Just stay here and live here and just, I can't take it anymore. Rest here. Leave me alone. Be grumpy. Don't see what's, because you know what they kept seeing? Every barrier, they stayed right here. You know what we do? Every barrier, we stay right here instead of right here. And God was saying all along during the Exodus series, let's call it, just look here. Where did the manna come from? Heaven. Where does your hope come from? Heaven. Where does tomorrow come from? Heaven. Your barriers that you see as, look up, he sees something else. How many times even in the recent weeks have we and Ashley and others quoted scripture of the scales being moved and seeing something that no one else saw? So, the end of this series, scorecard, I'm telling you this. Why not get with God and let the scales that are between you and him be loosed, be dropped, be let go? And get real with him and say, God, where am I really with you? And I'm okay, God, with you being honest, because I want what's... Man, is that beautiful. And you know what it does? It allows us to stop seeing ends, then ends, then ends, in all the places that God says, no, that's just an opportunity for me to show my power. That's just an opportunity for me to show my power. That's just one more opportunity for me. And then when it's all done, you're with me. Because what do we sing about? Death is not the end. And I pray today that death is not the end for you. And so, it's time, church, to get with your scorecard between you and God, not live in guilt, but live in the fullness and wholeness that he has for you, and allow him to do a work. Stop avoiding it. Stop running from it. Run into it. God, today we thank you. We praise you. We pray for your presence to be known in each person's life. God, I ask that you would just move, that you would minister, that you would challenge and change hearts. And God, I pray that we would be a people that would be willing to be real with you. God, we love you. We praise you. Send us out as your body, as your people, ready to do your will and your work. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Have a great afternoon.